This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Trump talked with U.S. lawmakers today concerned about those tariffs. He agreed to a one-month exemption on auto imports from Canada and Mexico. ABC's Elizabeth Schulze says stocks rebounded today, but there's a lot of what-ifs.
It doesn't mean that the rest of the tariffs at this point aren't moving forward. So there is still a lot of uncertainty in the stock market and a lot of uncertainties for American businesses as they're trying to plan about what does this look like for them if we do move forward with those tariffs. And keep in mind that the White House has reiterated that it still does plan to move forward with reciprocal tariffs on April 2nd. And that would be a pretty dramatic change in cost for a lot of businesses.
Lawmakers are offering condolences after the sudden passing of Democratic Congressman Sylvester Turner of Texas. He was 70 years old. Christians are marking Ash Wednesday today, the start of Lent. In Rome, Pope Francis sent a message of hope. He's still hospitalized, battling pneumonia. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska for 1490 WLCX. Federal services such as Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and the Affordable Care Act are under scrutiny by the Trump administration, and Wisconsin's two senators have very different views of what should happen next. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
Senator Johnson said the problem with the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, is that it covers able-bodied working-age adults.
Medicaid is completely out of control because Obamacare has put it in real danger.
Senator Baldwin helped write the Affordable Care Act and said it has allowed more people to access health care.
People with pre-existing health conditions used to not be able to get health insurance because the insurance companies could just say no. That changed with the Affordable Care Act.
72 million Americans rely on Medicaid for their health care. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
According to data from the federal government, over a million people in Wisconsin are enrolled in Medicaid. Over one-third of Wisconsin driver's licenses have still not been updated to Real ID, with the deadline under 2 months away. A Real ID is required to fly domestically or to enter federal buildings as of May 6th, although people can still use another form of ID, such as a passport, to fly. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation says about 37% of driver's licenses in the state have not yet been updated. A full list of documents needed for the update and more information is available on the Wisconsin DMV website. Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency is ending leases for 16 federal government contracts in Wisconsin, including one building in La Crosse. A lease for the IRS was canceled in La Crosse, which the Trump administration says will save over $180,000. 15 other leases were also ended in the state, with the Trump administration claiming nearly $5.5 million worth of savings. The biggest closure is for a building leased by the Bureau of Indian Affairs in Ashland, affecting 40 federal workers. A winter storm warning is in effect until 6 p.m. La Crosse is expected to see up to 4 inches of snow, with higher totals to the north. The snow will taper off this evening, but blowing and drifting snow remains a hazard. For 1490 WLCX and LaCrosseEagle.com, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Bucks with a win in Atlanta. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the Hawks 127-121. Atlanta had the lead midway through the game. Doc Rivers asked about what he didn't like about the Bucks defense in the first half.
I just thought they got in transition early. They made two or three threes off our missed layups. So second half, I thought we were way better. First half, I didn't think. We showed a video at halftime where first three steps we were jogging, they were running by us. Second half, we didn't do that, and we took that away from them.
College hoops. It's the Badgers at Minnesota tonight in the border battle. Marquette on the road at UConn. The Packers re-signing their free agents. First, it was linebacker Isaiah McDuffie. Now, kicker Brandon McManus gets a three-year deal worth $15 million, $5 million guaranteed.
You know, I'm happy that in the past now, I was hoping and working hard for another opportunity. I'm extremely grateful for the Green Bay Packers for giving me that next chance to come back out here and play the game I love.
That's kicker Brandon McManus with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy and windy this evening, then a clearing sky with the wind dying down overnight, and a low in the upper teens. Mostly sunny tomorrow, high upper 30s. Continued warming for Friday and the weekend. Highs in the 40s, even 50s by Sunday. Current temp is 30.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Think about how many people in our communities, our friends, our families, our neighbors, our postal workers, carriers, people that work at our Veterans Affairs hospitals, USDA. Here's what Marjorie Taylor Greene, Donald Trump's lieutenant, thinks of all the people I just mentioned.
Federal employees do not deserve their jobs.
That's what Donald Trump and MAGA believe if you are a federal worker.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Marquette's newest poll has dropped. We'll be joined at 2 p.m. by Dr. Charles Franklin to discuss what Wisconsinites know about the candidates for the Supreme Court and what are our opinions about Elon.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX. Lacrosse's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who always looks ahead, even when parallel parking, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you're staying safe out there. What a crazy March day here in Wisconsin, at least in the northeastern part of the state. We got hit with snow and sleet and slush, and it's just really ugly outside. I guess it's happening all over northeast Wisconsin, or all over northern Wisconsin for that matter. Hope you're staying safe wherever you are, and hope that you're staying warm. And to think that daylight savings is only like 3 days away and we're getting weather like this. Crazy. But let's enjoy it. Let's stay inside and stay warm and listen to the radio and talk about the business we call show. And we're going to talk a little wrestling tonight, because let's be honest, that's showbiz too. So I got a really fun show for you guys tonight, on a night where we need the radio. It's cold. It's snowy. Conrad, how are you?
Yeah, it's not that great downtown right now in Green Bay.
Really?
It's disgusting out there. It's gross out there.
I didn't want to get in the car. It was horrible. You can't be driving in this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll cheer people up tonight. This is an escape from 6 to 8. We're going to have some laughs. We're going to have some, we're going to talk a little TV and movies. And as I mentioned, some wrestling. At 6:35, Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is here. He writes about entertainment very well. At the Journal Sentinel, does a great job. And we will talk to Chris about, well, a lot of things. He's got some great articles. He's going to talk about what's coming out this weekend. There's a couple sci-fi films coming out. We'll see how they do. But we'll talk about that with Chris. We're going to talk about a big sport event in Milwaukee that's been going on for 84 years. We'll talk about that with Chris as well and maybe get his take on the Oscars too. And then at 7:20, our friend Rich, there is some concern over his name. And I'm going to let you go first, Conrad. I know it because I corrected you last night.
Locasio.
Correct, yeah. My friend. Rich will be here tonight. There's some big news in wrestling, and we're going to let Rich break it here on Nightlight tonight. It's going to be fun. You may have already heard it if you're a huge wrestling fan. I'm not a huge wrestling fan, but I know many of you are. So Rich will bring the news to the people at 7:20 tonight. So there you go. Chris Foran, Rich Locasio. It's snowing outside. Pop some popcorn, folks. Gather the family around the old radio and let's have some fun. Today is Ash Wednesday, Conrad. How did you celebrate?
I didn't do much today besides work. So, but yeah, that's
you're not
how I celebrated.
Catholic anyway, are you?
I am not.
I haven't gotten ashes in a few years. I grew up Catholic, 16 years of Catholic school, 16 years. That is grade school, high school, and college. I went to a Catholic university because I couldn't get enough of it in high school or grade school. But I did get ashes for years. If it was convenient for me, I know that's a pr- pretty lame excuse to my fellow Catholics. I would still get ashes, but I just did not get out to do it today. It is Ash Wednesday, though, folks. So happy Ash Wednesday to all of you who are celebrating today and getting ashes and giving up something for Lent. Let's be honest. That was the big thing when we were kids. Now, the Catholics typically are not supposed to eat meat on Fridays during Lent. Let me know if you'll honor that, folks. And there's no judgment. I don't think it makes you a good or bad Catholic if you eat meat on Friday. In my opinion, it's a silly rule, but all churches, all religions have their rules or their things that we're not supposed to do. I had a friend when I was a kid whose mom started making a chicken on Ash Wednesday. I'm sorry, on one of the Fridays in Lent. Caught herself and threw it out because it was a sin. In my opinion, it's a bigger sin throwing out a chicken. But everybody feels differently. And I'm not here to judge. I truly celebrate all of your beliefs. So tell me your thoughts on Lent if you're Catholic. The phone lines are open, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. But that does lead us, Ash Wednesday, to our question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
All right, whether or not you're Catholic, what do you wish you could give up for 40 days? That's the length of Lent for my fellow Catholics. What will you give up? Whether you're Catholic or not, the question is simply, what do you wish you could give up for 40 days? Thoughts, Conrad?
I think, I mean, I could definitely do without meat for one for Friday because I love fish. So I could definitely eat fish on Fridays.
But you're supposed to kind of sacrifice, you know, it's supposed to be kind of a challenge. Like when you're at soda, okay. I have a friend who gives up booze every year. With you, it might be like, you know, watching sports highlights, something, you know?
I couldn't do that. I think it would be just giving up the sweet tooth that I have.
Sweets. Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I've already given up booze. I kind of don't really do carbs. I'm kind of running out of things to give up. Maybe I'll do what Bart Simpson suggested and take up smoking and then give that up.
There
and
you
Homer
go.
Would... Homer would compliment me and say, good for you, son. Smoking is one of the hardest things you'll ever have to quit. I think I'm going to say, I don't want to pass the buck here because I do want to give an answer. So I think what I'm going to say is I am not going, you know what I'd love to give up? And I don't know if I'm going to commit to this yet. Instagram.
Okay.
I'm not even active on Instagram, but the reels they have are so addicting. You just sit there and scroll. Do you not have that problem?
Not on Instagram. I go on TikTok.
TikTok's the same thing. Yeah, you just keep scrolling and scrolling, and before you know it, it's an hour of your life, and you're looking. And the worst part is when you're scrolling and you come to the same video you started this whole excursion with. But that's not good enough. I need to give up something better than that. So I think what I will try to do is to be nice to everybody I come in contact with.
Oh, that's going to be hard.
It is hard, and there are people that, honestly, it is hard. Listen, there are times I avoid people, and I don't want to do that. I want to try to bring some joy to people's days. I want to smile, make them laugh, talk, if they're my neighbors. I like to do that. I don't know if they always want to talk to me, but maybe that's what I'll do for Lent. Or I could try to go to church every Sunday. I don't know. I haven't done that in a while. But what do you think, folks? Would love to hear from you. What do you wish you could give up for 40 days? If you're Catholic, you can call it Lent. But otherwise, the question is kind of standalone. What would you give up for 40 days? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You could try to give up the old SEX like Josh Hartnett did in 40 days or 40 nights, was it called? He tried to give up sex. I couldn't even. It was such a bad comedy. It was like in the early 2000s. I think I started it. And I couldn't even do it. I couldn't even get through it. Great to have you with me tonight. It is Ash Wednesday. It is also, I don't know if you saw this, Con, it's Cheese Doodle Day. National Cheese Doodle Day.
Yeah.
You might laugh. But about 20 years ago, when I was still a better practicing Catholic, I couldn't get ashes. So I grabbed some cheese doodles, crushed them up, and used the cheese doodle dust to give myself ashes.
There you go.
Went in a pinch. It's just nice that they share this day. National Cheese Doodle Day, Ash Wednesday, National Multiple Personality Day. No, it's not. Yes, it is. Shut up. No.
That's
Multiple Personality Day.
The Mask. There we go. That's a movie that we could talk with Multiple Personality Day. Wait, Jim Carrey.
Was that The Mask? Oh, he put on the mask and he became someone different, right?
Yeah, yep.
But did he have multiple personalities?
Yeah, because he was a totally different person when he was in the mask. When he wasn't, he was kind of timid.
Yeah, okay. Was that a good movie? Honestly, I saw it once years ago, and I don't know. I mean, maybe it's great. It never stuck with me, you know?
I love Jim Carrey movies, so yeah. It's still a really funny movie, but yeah, I don't think it got good reviews.
I'm sure he's funny in it.
Yes.
So that's our question tonight, folks. What would you give up for 40 days? 855-752-4842, or you can text us on the app. Super easy to use. Conrad, how can people watch the radio tonight?
Yeah, so if you go on Facebook, we're under WGBW, WISS, or Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. If you go on YouTube, Civic Media, or WGBW. And on Twitter, it is Civic Media, or WGBW.
Very easy to do. Kind of a cool thing happened. A few months ago, we had Mike Cheslick on the show. He's a director, made a film called Hundreds of Beavers. If you have not seen Hundreds of Beavers, do everything in your power to check it out, folks. It's a black and white silent film about a fur trader who is tormented by hundreds of beavers. And the guys that made it are from Wisconsin. It just passed the $1 million mark at the box office. For a film that costs like between $100,000 and $200,000 to make, which still sounds like a lot of money, but that's hard to make back. And these guys did it. Mike was the director, and I think co-wrote it with Rylan Brixen Hughes, his writing partner. I'll have to look that up. I'm sure I got Rylan's name right. Rylan could not be on the show when Mike was on, but Mike was a great guest. We should try to book him back and see if we can find out what it's like having $1 million box office hit. That's pretty cool. Yeah. Years ago, you know, if you made your money back, broke even, whatever, but this is going into, well, not Blair Witch category, but for a little comedy like this, that's a silent film, to do what this film was doing, it's really incredible. So if you have not seen Hundreds of Beavers, it is well worth a watch. It's like an hour and 20 minutes, really fun, moves fast, and you won't be disappointed. If you are disappointed, Conrad will give you your money back. It's that simple.
I don't know about that.
Come on, you got the money. Rylan Brixen Hughes is the lead actor. He plays Jean Kayak for Trader. And Rylan is very good at physical comedy. And Mike Cheslick is the director. We'll see if we can get those guys back on. And I think they co-wrote it, if I'm not mistaken. So we've got a lot to talk about, folks. How can you not on National Cheese Doodle Day? We'll come back. I'll read your texts. We'll talk about Alec Baldwin. There's Baldwin news and a new show I'm watching. You won't want to miss that. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwaba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Chart Industries Incorporated is seeking a continuous improvement manager, Cairo, in La Crosse, Wisconsin, responsible for developing, managing, and implementing improvement strategies within the Cairo region product line, focusing on improving customer excellence, on-time delivery, quality of service, and margin performance. 20% travel within the Cairo region, salary within the range of $104,000 to $155,000 a year. Send your resume to jesse.sorensen@chartindustries.com. Reference CIMCEG.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Anti-authoritarian feelings ran high in the years before and after the signing of the Declaration of Independence, as the Declaration's litany of complaints against the king suggests. So it's unlikely the Founding Fathers would have supported expansion of presidential powers and absolute immunity for official acts. The July 1st opinion from the so-called originalist members of the U.S. Supreme Court invokes Alexander Hamilton's Federalist Papers vision for a vigorous and energetic executive. Without that, quote, the president would be chilled from taking the bold and unhesitating action required of an independent executive. But that's not the whole story. Three other prominent framers of the U.S. Constitution, James Madison, Benjamin Franklin, and George Mason, feared the opposite and pushed for a multi-person executive council to decentralize power. Ultimately, they compromised, stipulating that the president should seek advice and consent from the Senate for appointments and treaties. Constitutional Convention delegate James Wilson said during debates on the Constitution, "Sir, we have a responsibility in the person of our president. He cannot act improperly and hide either his negligence or inattention. He cannot roll upon any other person the weight of his criminality." He continued, "Far from being above the laws, he is amenable to them in his private character as a citizen and in his public character by impeachment." We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Back. Great to have you with me on this snowy Wednesday night, depending on what part of the state you're in. I know other parts did not get hit as well as we did, but be careful out there, folks. It is treacherous. Just stay warm and stay safe. Turning to the text line, our question tonight is, what do you wish you could give up for 40 days? I'm talking about Lent a little bit. It's Ash Wednesday, but I know we all, it's kind of like a mini New Year's resolution. So what do you want to give up, or what do you wish you could give up for 40 days? I've already said I'm not really doing booze anymore. Not really doing carbs. I'm running out of things to give up. So I think what I'll do is just try to be nice to people. That sounds lame, I know, but it takes effort. You know, you have to go out of your way to brighten someone's day. Right, Conrad?
Yeah, I got a recommendation. Just give up movies.
Yeah. I could do that. As long as I could watch TV.
Okay.
No, I couldn't do that, obviously. If I didn't have the show, that would be a challenge. That would be an interesting thing for me to sacrifice, because I do love movies. But let me just say, you look very handsome tonight. You got a nice hoodie on and a hat. There we go. I just started my whole 40 days. And all you listeners, you look great. Eric from Lodi says, I suppose I could give up not observing Lent. Hey, Eric, you going to become Catholic? That would be a big commitment. Eric from Lodi in the 608 says, I suppose I could give up not observing Lent. He also says, seriously, I should probably give up nachos for 40 days. Now, do you mean the chips, Eric, or like nachos with all the works on them? Because honestly, I think chips, and let's go to the next text, because Paula, Conrad's mom, is checking in from the 920. She says, I agree with Conrad on giving up the sweets, but also need to include chips. I'll tell you what, Paula, if I could, I would just give up chips forever. They don't have any nutritional value, or very little. They're so addicting. So kind of a theme there. Eric and Paula, both on the give up the chips bandwagon. But sweets are too tough. You're never going to give up sweets. Check back in, Paula. If you're able to do that, I would love to know about it. You too, Con. I don't see it happening.
Okay.
But good luck. Steve in the 920. Says, during the 40 days of Lent, I wish I could give up work, but unfortunately, my boss doesn't agree. How rude. Can you believe that, Pete? I can, Stephen. You know what? All you have to do is become Catholic, and all of a sudden, your boss can't mess with you because of your religious beliefs. Tell him I said so. See where that gets you, Steve. Let's see what happens. All right, so keep those texts coming. What do you wish you could give up for 40 days? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I am watching a new show that I like. It's called Zero Day. It's on Netflix. A lot of people are watching it. I know it's a very popular show right now. Robert De Niro is one of the main actors. Jesse, what the heck is his name? Fergus? No, I got to find this out. Jesse, he's a great actor. I'm totally blanking on his name. But it's a really good show. The grid goes out and there are train crashes. There are traffic lights that don't work. People get in accidents. And the president gets a text that says this will happen again. The United States is basically being threatened. Jesse Plemons. I couldn't think of his last name. And Joan Allen is in it too. Matthew Modine. Angela Bassett plays the president. Very good. It is a very good show. So far, I'm two episodes in, and I definitely want to keep watching. And that's the only barometer I think you can really use. You want to keep watching it. So I'm going to stick with it. I'll probably bang out a couple episodes tonight after I get my work done, and I will keep you guys posted on that. But so far, so good. Check out Zero Day. Robert De Niro plays an ex-president who was a one-termer. He decided not to run again. Sound familiar? There's some Biden stuff there. The new president, played by Angela Bassett, I'm still trying to get a beat on her, but she's good. She's a very good actor. And Jesse Plemons, I like everything, almost everything he is in. He did a season of Fargo several years ago, and he was so good with his wife, Kirsten Dunst. And they were both very good in it, but he's a really solid actor. And he plays the assistant to Robert De Niro, who is living his life post-presidency. But he gets drawn back in to help lead this investigation into who is behind these cyber terror attacks. Check it out if you're looking for something to watch. I recommend it. I saw this too. You heard about what Alec Baldwin did like a couple years ago.
Yes.
Right? I mean, it's like 3 or 4 years now, but I can't even imagine doing something like that, like accidentally killing someone. Even though it's not your fault. I think the armorist was the one who took most of the blame for that. Probably rightfully so. The gun probably shouldn't have been loaded. Alec Baldwin probably should have checked the double check. Maybe he did. I don't know. I cannot imagine living with something like that. You ever accidentally killed someone, Conrad?
No.
Ever do it on purpose?
I can't say that either.
Okay. Good for you. Keep on the straight and narrow, young man. His wife, Valeria, said that he has had heart trouble since the accident. He is riddled with guilt, has had hospital stays. And she said all this on their TLC show called The Baldwins. And I think the only thing that could make his condition worse is if he had to actually watch his own show. I'm just guessing. It's got to be horrible. The Sound of Music turns 60 this week. You ever seen that, Conrad?
Honestly, I think I have. I just don't remember it.
Okay. I mean, you know, it's a fun movie. It's one of the highest grossing films of all time. Julie Andrews. Very lovely. I've seen it once. But Christopher Plummer, apparently, who played George Von Trapp, hated it. All through filming, he's calling it boring and trite. Said the story was gooey. And at one point referred to the title as The Sound of Mucus. So I don't know what to make. Like, I feel like, you know, if you're in the acting game and you're fortunate enough to be in huge movies, it's easy for me to say this, but shut your trap.
Yeah.
Do the role. No pun intended. Shut your Von Trapp and do the role and be happy. All right. Chris Foran will be here after the news. Civic Media's news team is chomping at the bit to keep you informed, folks, and tell you what you need to know. They do such a great job of it here at Civic Media. We're coming right back with Chris Foran, and Rich Locascio joins at 7:20 to talk wrestling. Get your sniglet on. Sniglet? Singlet. What's it called?
Snugget? Onesie? Snugget?
Sure, snuggles. We'll go with that. The wrestling term. They do a lot of snuggling. Fun night here on Nightlight. Great to have you with me. We're coming right back on the Civic Media Radio Network. Someone's living for the love. And I love her. And I love her.
You're listening to the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska for 1490 WLCX. Federal services such as Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and the Affordable Care Act are under scrutiny by the Trump administration, and Wisconsin's two senators have very different views of what should happen next. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
Senator Johnson said the Affordable Care Act has almost doubled in cost because of allowing single, working-age, childless adults to access health care through the program.
It's the Obamacare that has been put into Medicaid that threatens the solvency of Medicaid and threatens the solvency of our nation.
According to Senator Baldwin, Medicaid funding helps pay for nursing care for those on Medicaid. It also helps keep community health centers and critical access hospitals open in rural areas in Wisconsin.
This affects our local economies and especially our rural economies in significant ways.
72 million Americans rely on Medicaid for their health care. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
According to data from the federal government, over a million people in Wisconsin are enrolled in Medicaid. La Crosse City officials on Monday terminated the lease agreement for parking lots for the city brewery over odor emissions. The city has fined the brewery over the odors and also filed paperwork over excess wastewater from the brewery. In other city news, the Neighborhood Revitalization Commission will discuss the zoning project being done by the city, as well as suggestions for outdoor lighting regulations. The Finance and Personnel Committee will meet tomorrow, the final meeting this week for city officials. The boys basketball tournament began last night. Local winners include Sparta, Toma, Bangor, and Luther. The regional semifinals are on Friday, where the full tournament field will be in action. Tomorrow, girls basketball regional champions West Salem, Aquinas, Blair Taylor, and Oliva Strumble play in sectional semifinals. It's also the start of state hockey. On Friday, West Salem and Gail Ettrick Trempolo are at state gymnastics in Wisconsin Rapids, and Holman is at state team wrestling in Madison. La Crosse is under a winter storm warning until 6 p.m. Snowfall totals could be 2 to 4 inches today. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. A complete unknown drew a complete goose egg at the Oscars despite 8 Academy Award nominations. To make matters worse, according to The Hollywood Reporter, the subject of the Bob Dylan biopic, also known as Bob Dylan, was invited to both present and perform at the ceremony, but declined on both fronts. Mick Jagger ended up presenting in his place. At the beginning of the show, host Conan O'Brien joked that Timothy Chalamet learned how to sing so well in preparation for playing Bob Dylan, he almost didn't get the role. Tabloids love their clickbait. After finding out that Mikey Madison won the Oscar for Best Actress as Anora, tabloids made a big stink that Demi Moore gritted her teeth and seemed upset. A closer look at the situation by a lip reader revealed Moore turned to the person next to her and said, "Nice." One clickbait tabloid in particular said later in its article that Moore was very happy for Madison. Now that's journalism. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy and windy this evening, then a clearing sky with the wind dying down overnight, and a low in the upper teens. Mostly sunny tomorrow, high upper 30s. Continued warming for Friday and the weekend. Highs in the 40s, even 50s by Sunday. Current temp is 30.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome in author Laura Ann Bird to talk to us more about what we can find in a book, or in the case of this week, a book club.
It's called a silent book club. You go to either a coffee shop or distillery or bar with a bunch of other people. You're all reading different books. You walk away from these with like great recommendations. It's sort of like a show and tell of what everyone's reading.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we are talking all things legal with Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review. He joins us at 10:30. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Two, three, four!
Welcome back. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night, a snowy night, at least here in Northeast Wisconsin and Northern Wisconsin. But we'll get through it, folks. We'll talk about some show business, read some texts. Let us know what you would give up for 40 days or what you wish you could give up for 40 days. Text me here at 855-752-4842. Let me know what you really wish you could give up. I might change my answer, Conrad, to being nice to people, to giving up chips. How superficial is that?
I think that's a good one.
I could be nice to people, or I could have better abs. That is so this time in history. Joining me now, folks, is one of our favorites. He joins us quite a bit here on Nightlight, and we have a great fun talking about show business. He writes about entertainment for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and his name, you know him as Chris Foran. Chris, how are you?
I'm doing okay, Pete. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you, sir. Great to have you. How are things in beautiful Milwaukee tonight?
We dodged almost all of the snow.
It's unbelievable.
It stuck to some of the grass, and we had a lot of rain. It's now kind of windy, so we will take that. I lived long enough to remember big snowstorms this time of year. I'm happy to not have one.
I know my son is there and said, no, we're not getting it. But you know what? I think the last couple times you guys got hit, and somehow up north we missed it. Every once in a while that happens, but...
Yeah, it looks like the tide has turned, yeah. The Milwaukee meteorologists refer to it as the Milwaukee donut, where the snow goes around us but doesn't get to us. So,
oh, you guys will get your just desserts if I have anything to say about it.
We are pro-donuts, so that works out well.
Milwaukee loves their donuts. Well, great to have you on the show. Hey, I was going to, you know, we talked about some of the things we talked about, but I saw this on IMDb Pro earlier, Hundreds of Beavers.
Yes.
The great little indie film shot in Wisconsin by guys who were originally from Milwaukee, Mike Cheslick and Ryland Tews, just passed $1 million in theaters. How do you like that?
I think it's great. I feel like it's a story that I have not spent enough time on with the paper, but it's a movie that's sort of ground up, and it's a great example of a movie that people find and embrace, and it is goofy. And it's intentionally goofy, and there's something to be said for that. And everybody made a big deal out of Barbenheimer last year, but this is that same kind of thing. People find it and they connect to it and they come back out to see it again. And that's honestly what probably the movies need more of.
You know, it's interesting. I'm probably doing this strictly off a hunch or whatever, but I feel like people in the indie film world or in the entertainment, Wisconsin entertainment circles know about it. But I feel like the general public in Wisconsin will still find it. Not that some of them haven't, but I feel like it could do even better, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it would be interesting to see them. Well, I'm not sure it would work. Like, see people show it like at free at out at like, you know, those outdoor movie series that communities have and things like that. And some way to get it into the general public. I mean, it's on Amazon Prime or Prime Video. So it's not unfindable. Okay. That's how I watched it. I had actually missed it. Then caught up with Lake Michigan Monster, and you know, so I'm slowly catching up. We have a ton of people making movies in Milwaukee or in Wisconsin that are actually getting streaming for distribution. We just don't always know what they are.
Yeah, I loved Lake Michigan Monster too. I think that's the one. It starts off where he's in the water and then he stands up. You think he's scuba diving and he stands up and he's like in 12 inches of water or something like that, close to the shore. But it's just again the same type of not a silent comedy. There is a dialogue in that, but a really fun film too, if you can catch up with both of them. So I read your column, I think it came out today, about what's coming out this weekend. Mm-hmm. This is a big weekend for Bong Joon-ho, has his new film Mickey 17 coming out.
Yeah.
What are you hearing? It's getting great reviews, but I've read a couple that weren't so great. Have you heard anything? Yeah.
I've heard the same thing you've heard. I haven't seen it. We stopped reviewing movies at the paper a while back, so I rarely go see things in advance because it's like graft for me. But I would guess that the negative reviews, because I'm trying not to read too many of them, I'd read just enough so I can tell people what it's about, and then I go see it. Yeah. My sense of it is that people expect it to be like Parasite, and that means they haven't seen The Host or even Snowpiercer. I mean, Snowpiercer, people might know the TV show. The movie's a little different. And The Host is a monster movie that is pretty funny, but has a very social edge to it.
He's kind go ahead.
No, we'll see. I mean, it doesn't look like they're expecting it to be a huge box office hit, which I think is smart. I think it's the kind of thing where people will respond to it or they won't. And, you know, we'll see. It's got Kenosha's own Mark Ruffalo in it, so it's already a bonus.
That's kind of cool. Yeah. I have never seen Snowpiercer or The Host. But I would think if you saw Parasite, and based on what I've seen from Mickey 17, at least on some of the reviewer sites, they don't look at all similar.
No. And I think Mickey 17 is a little bit structurally wackier. I mean, that Parasite has humor in the front end that you forget when you see the second half of the movie because it's so raw. But The Host, you know, The Host is about a monster that is generated from toxic waste that's dumped in this big river in Korea and people trying to get away from it. It's like a sea monster movie, but there's lots of humor in it. And Snowpiercer is about a post-apocalyptic civilization where, as far as we know, all of humanity is living on this bullet train that's traveling around the world, and the poor people live in the back and the rich people live in the front, and the poor people try to strike back. Chris Evans is in it, of all people. And the TV series had David Diggs, who's very good in the TV series, but they're a little bit different movies. And he's done the gamut. You know, he's got a noir thriller, Memories of Murder. He's done different things. I think he's a really smart guy. Lots of social commentary in all of his movies. So that's the kind of the common thread. But The Host, I think I had to check it, but I think The Host is streaming. It's worth checking out. I would bet this is in more in that wheelhouse. And Pattinson can be very funny. It's clear from the trailer that both Ruffalo, that all the characters are pretty, you know, over the top. So you never know how people can respond to that. I mean, that was that whole thing with Poor Things a couple of years ago. You know, some people responded to it, some people just did not. So
I thought it was great. I thought, you know, I've seen him in interviews too, like on talk shows. Bong Joon-ho, he's a funny guy. He's got a good sense of humor.
He's a very funny guy.
Yeah, very talented. What about Rule Breakers? That looks really interesting, but I couldn't tell. At first I read it sounded like kind of read like a documentary, but then I saw it was in wide release, so I looked at it. Well,
it's another one of these inspired by a true story movies about it's about a group of young Afghan women who were recruited to join like a robotics team in Afghanistan at a time when under the Taliban, it's probably now when young women are not allowed to use computers, but they're not allowed to go to school. And they say inspired by a true story. It's distributed by the Angel Studios, which does a lot of these inspirational movies. Some of them are more overtly Christian than others. They did that Sound of Freedom movie that was a big hit a couple years ago. And they did the movie about, you know, Cabrini, about the Italian nun who helps the poor in New York. And so I have no idea what to make of it. I've seen the trailer. It looks like a lot of these kinds of, you know, very inspirational sort of movie, but
The other big one opening this weekend in the Lost Lands, at least opening wide, David Bautista and Mila Jovovich, not reviewing particularly well. Have you heard anything about that?
No, and we probably won't. I mean, it's the guy who made it, Paul W.S. Anderson, is the guy who made all the Resident Evil movies.
Yeah.
With Mila Jovovich who's in it. It's big, you know, it's one of those movies that sounds like it was kind of created on the front. I haven't seen it, but sort of, hey, we have a George R. R. Martin short story. Let's put this guy who makes post-apocalyptic movies on it and then throw, you know, Dave Bautista in there and see what happens. And,
right.
I mean, I think, you know, sometimes we feel like we're in a post-apocalyptic landscape already. So, you know, why not?
They're all over the place. Even De Niro, we talked about Zero Day, which I'll save for later, but, everywhere is post-apocalyptic stuff. Hey, I want to ask you, I saw this is great. You wrote about this too, Chris, an event coming up in Milwaukee. The sport, what was it called? I've lost it here now. I can't find it. I'm sorry. It's a sporting event that has been going on for 84 years. It's at the fairgrounds.
You're talking about the sports show, the journal
sports show. Yeah, there it is.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it used to be a much bigger thing. It would run for a couple of weeks and back when in the golden age of that sort of thing. And, you know, hunting, fishing, they have a big trout pond there. They have lumberjack competitions where they're doing log rolling and stuff like that. lot of fishing tutorials, lots of outdoor stuff. Okay. Usually hold in it, historically it it's advised with the auto show for the worst weekend weather-wise of the year usually, but historically people used to come out for it, and they used to have, and I've written stories about this, best they used to have a lot more animals at it, but they got a little demonized. We have some pictures in our archives of, you know, a couple of like 10-year-old boys hanging out with a couple of bear cubs, which seems like a really bad idea. But it is very much, for people who go, it's very much a tradition. It's one of those things that has, you know, that kind of seasonal marker for people in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I was just surprised because I was reading this. I had never heard of it. I don't live in Milwaukee, and I never have, but 84 years, that's impressive. So that's,
yeah, it goes back to the World War II, so yeah.
My guest is Chris Foran. He writes for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, covers entertainment, and we have him on the show quite a bit to talk about all things, not just entertainment, but all things fun. Chris, what is the Shamrock Shuffle? That was in your column recently, too.
As a local group called, outfit called Swarm that does, organizes these, they're sort of like organized bar crawls, and you buy a ticket and you go into a certain neighborhood, a nightlife neighborhood. I think this year they're in Walker's Point and Water Street in Milwaukee. And then you get discounts on stuff, and, you know, there might be a deal here or there. And, when I wrote that, they hadn't sold out. I wouldn't be surprised if they've sold out by now. They're usually very popular here. So
I think it's hilarious. I'm not saying they don't exist outside of Wisconsin, but I feel like a bar crawl is like a sport here in our state.
And it's a competitive sport. Yeah. When I was in college, I worked with a guy who did a one person bar crawl. He lived at UWM and he worked at Marquette, and he had a drink at every bar between work and home. I don't know if he ever survived it.
Honestly. He might have a problem. I don't know if that would be.
I think he didn't have a problem. He perfected it. So,
he just got really good at it. Okay. So we have a kind of a fun thing, Chris. I want to do this with you, and you're a good sport. You said that you would be willing to take an Oscars quiz. Just kind of we'll put a little button on the Oscars. We'll give Chris kind of a fun little quiz about some of the things that happened. It's not going to stump you or anything. But before we get to that, I would love to talk a little bit about TV. You said you're watching Zero Day. How are you liking Zero Day so far?
I've actually watched the whole thing. I didn't love it.
Okay.
I am a big friend. I am a big 70s conspiracy movie fan. Parallax View, 3 Days of the Condor. I love that story. One of my favorite of the Marvel movies is the Captain America, the Winter Soldier, because it feels exactly like that. You know, somebody in charge is involved in this.
Right.
And the twists are okay. They're a little, I was surprised by the number of them that weren't clean, you know, tied up. I'm very old school about that kind of thing.
Right.
Performances are fine. I mean, Lizzie Kaplan plays De Niro's daughter. She's a congressman. He's a former president, and they don't agree on anything. And everybody has so many secrets, you know.
Right.
It's kind of depressing, striking, and you know, it's like, you know, one of the recurring themes in the movie is that they can't get anything done in government. Like, they haven't passed a bill in 18 months. And it's like, I know why they can't pass the bill, because they've all got all these secrets they're trying to keep secret, you know. So
it's just a whole big cover up. Well, now I'm not as excited to keep going, but I will
the best thing about I will watch anything that's six episodes. I can sit through that.
Yeah, no kidding. Chris Foran is here. We'll have more with Chris after a very short break here on Nightlight with Peshwaba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Celebrate the women who have helped shape the world as we honor Women's History Month with powerful stories of Wisconsin's own. We remember the legacy of Val Phillips, the trailblazing civil rights leader, is also the first African-American woman elected to the Wisconsin State Assembly. Phillips was born in Milwaukee, and though she faced both racial and gender barriers, she remained strong in her fight for equality. She helped pass groundbreaking laws to desegregate public housing while also fighting for voting rights. Her courage and determination wasn't just for Wisconsin, but for the nation. And Phillips' legacy continues to inspire those who believe in justice, showing that one voice can spark change. These are the stories continuing to inspire all of us every day. And as we honor them, we will also recognize the powerful women who are still writing history. I'm Terry Barr.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Hey, this is Adam Brody, and you're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwab on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Gonna be some sweet sounds coming down on the night shift.
We got a text on the stream from someone named Scratch Dumont. Even if that's an alias, it's awesome. He says, your show is great. I'm no longer Catholic, but I do give up something for Lent every year. Each year I give up clean language, and I must say that by Holy Saturday, I'm feeling really cleansed. I would imagine a guy named Scratch Dumont has some serious skeletons in the closet, and language would probably be the worst of your concerns, but that's awesome. Thank you for the text, Scratch. That's our question tonight. What do you wish you could give up for 40 days in honor of Ash Wednesday? Let us know. We've got some more text to get to. We'll do that shortly. Right now, we are talking with our friend Chris Foran, who writes for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, covers entertainment for the paper, and does absolutely fine work. Always fun having Chris on the show. Chris, as you mentioned earlier, or as I mentioned to you, I put together a little Oscars quiz that I thought we could have some fun with. The answers are not that difficult. You're a pretty informed guy. I'm not trying to embarrass you here. I'm not going to bring up your childhood or anything personal, but I just thought maybe, obviously, that's a good thing now based on your reaction. But these are just questions I put together. So if you're game, let's do it.
Go for it.
All right, Conrad, you get the bell ready?
Oh, boy, a bell.
There's a bell, Chris. We have all the high-tech stuff here.
I'm impressed.
Conrad stole that from a Days In check-in counter, so we have that ready to go. All right, Chris Foran taking the Oscar wrap-up quiz. What Oscar winner almost broke the record for longest acceptance speech?
Almost broke the winner?
Broke the record.
I thought Adrian Brody broke the record.
He apparently, I'm told, he missed it by 1 second.
Is the correct answer then? That would be the correct answer, but they say that Greer Garson had the longest one?
Oh, who is it?
Greer Garson, is that supposed to be the longest one?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't know who had it. I just know, or I was told that Adrian Brody came with it.
There's a legend that when Greer Garson won it for Mrs. Miniver, she spoke forever. It became a standard joke on the Oscars forever and 1943, but there's no recording of it.
Oh,
so nobody knows how long it actually went. So.
I wonder, do you think it meandered like Adrian Brody's did? I guess we'll never know.
What I've read about it is that you just kept talking. And in those days, it was kind of a dinner. It wasn't, you know, a big thing like it is now. I mean, it wasn't that way until television. I mean, they used to do it. In fact, during World War II, they even toned it down a little because they didn't want it to seem too showy.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to give you that one. You got it right, obviously. The question was not, thank you for holding off, Conrad, until you got confirmation. We consider ourselves journalists here too, Chris, believe it or not. Okay. What comedian actor surprised everyone by showing up wearing a hoodie?
That'd be your Adam Sandler.
Conrad knows that one. Conrad knows all things Adam Sandler. He is he's as much into Adam Sandler as he was the Hawk Tua girl, but Adam Sandler never tried a pyramid scheme, so he still follows Adam Sandler.
Probably for the best.
Probably for the best, exactly. What two Best Picture nominees, despite multiple nominations, went home empty-handed?
Which two? Well, Complete Unknown was 0 for 8, I believe. And,
correct.
The other one, Nickel Boys?
Very well done, Mr. Foreign. Outstanding.
I actually thought there was one more, but I couldn't remember. It is interesting how, even though there was one that was a big winner in Nora, they did kind of share the love. So spread the love around.
So. Yeah, I would say so too. I didn't know that. Actually, when I was looking up questions for this quiz, I knew that A Complete Unknown had been shut out. I did not realize Nickel Boys had been shut out too. So I believe there are only two. But all right, we will keep going. Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel joins us. He is 3 for 3 on tonight's Oscars quiz. He is crushing it, ladies and gentlemen. Number 4, what director was the first person to win 4 Oscars from the same movie?
I believe that would be Sean Baker.
Correct. I figured you would get that after what we just said. But what I didn't know, Chris, this was interesting. I was surprised. I didn't know that hadn't been done before. 4 Oscars from the same film. Very impressive. But apparently, he tied Walt Disney for the most Oscars in one night. That's incredible.
Which is sort of deceptive because that comes from a time when the head of the studio would get the... Walt Disney put his name on everything. So
okay.
It's so kind of deceptive.
What I'm hearing is Sean Baker deserved them a little more.
Yeah.
Absolutely. This is an easy one for you, Chris. I'm throwing you a softball here.
That means I'll miss it.
Yeah, this will be the one you don't get. What actor showed up wearing a ridiculous yellow suit?
I heard you the other night. I know you feel ridiculous about it. You'd be talking about Timothée Chalamet there.
Correct. Yeah, I know. Listen, I lived out there for so long and I have so many friends that are in the business and I don't mind someone trying to stand out a little bit, but what is he doing? Like, he's one of the best actors of his time. He's dating a Kardashian. He could not have a higher profile and he shows up looking like the character from
maybe he was just trying to get people to take away attention from his mustache.
Or lack thereof. Yeah,
that is a pretty bad mustache.
It's a pretty bad mustache. I think he likes that though. I think he wants that to be weird.
Yes.
What actor had his acceptance speech censored?
Kieran Culkin.
Oh my gosh. 6 for 6, buddy. Chris Foran, ladies and gentlemen, just crushed our Oscars quiz.
It almost makes me feel better about the two. We had an office thing where I took part in, and then I did the ABC one, and I was 14-9 and 10-13. So this is better. I'm doing better here.
All right. Well, we're here to help.
Well, if you guess wrong on a couple things, suddenly you're in a,
We got to do a real quick break. Can we keep you for a few minutes, Chris?
Sure.
All right. We'll be coming right back after the news. More with Chris Foran on Nightlight.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time on The Serious Side. We'll talk about the 80,000 cuts proposed to the Department of Veterans Affairs and on what's worse, the Olio edition. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Farm Rescue makes sure that you aren't alone. They're there to extend the hand and to take the burden.
Even the most independent farmers need help sometimes, and asking for that help is protecting the future.
Farm Rescue provides equipment and volunteers free of charge to assist in times of crisis. We're currently accepting applications for planting and haying assistance. If you or someone you know could use our help, call 701-252-2017 or visit farmrescue.org.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A better day on Wall Street after President Trump said automakers would get a one-month reprieve from the tariffs he's imposed on Canada and Mexico. ABC's Elizabeth Schulze.
Nice to talk about a little bit of green on that Dow board versus the red that we've been talking about the past 2 days. And it does tell the story of exactly how closely traders in the stock market are following each and every development on this trade war right now, including that exemption that was issued midday today by the White House.
Cuts coming to the VA. Secretary of Veterans Affairs Doug Collins says the agency's planning to cut 15% of its workforce, some 72,000 government employees, in conjunction with Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. Top Trump officials, including Vice President J.D. Vance, visiting the southern border, taking an aerial tour, and today visiting an immigration detention facility before holding a border roundtable with local and national participants. This is ABC News.